come to the right spot. It's another edition of Lewis at Large. 60 minutes of Smart Talk Radio is in your future with guests from all walks of life and all points of view. And now with this week's edition of Lewis at Large, here's your host, Warner Lewis.
Welcome back, everybody. Yours truly, Warner Lewis, from the flight deck of Lewis at Large Radio. And as you know, that means in this segment and all segments of the show, Smart Talk Radio is in your future, and this segment, no exception. We're going to be talking to Callum B. Jones. He's the owner of Trend Capital Management in Kansas City. We will be talking about all things economy. We'll be talking about all things market and all things finance, personal, national, global, and otherwise. And so with that as a reasonably poor introduction, we will say hello, Cal. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine, Warner. That's quite a task you set before us.
Yeah, indeed. A lot of ground to cover. But anyway, and again, we want to preface this, and we will remind you, we are not in the business of offering stock picks. We never are here. What we are talking about here is the economy on a little bit more global, maybe even regional level. So Cal does many things, and one of that is advise people from time to time on a variety of investments. That's not what we'll be talking about today. Cal, let's do this. Give our Lewis at Large listeners a little bit better setup. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you arrived at Trend Capital Management.
Okay. I got an accounting degree in 1981 from UMKC. Went into what was then Big 8 Accounting, Arthur Anderson, which of course is no longer around anymore. Was there for a couple of years, went into private industry, was a controller and a CFO for a couple of different companies. And then I got into the financial business as a broker in 1997. I stayed there for, I guess, 13 years and created Trend Capital, which is an RIA, a slightly different arrangement with the client. Started Trend Capital in 2010, and that's you know, the quick and dirty. You know, I had the accountant training before. I was a CPA. I am a PFS, which means personal financial specialist, according to the AICPA. And I've been published, I don't know if I'd say many times, but sometimes. I've had 16 articles published in the Star and a few others that have been scattered around. I was on Fox Business News 3 times, being interviewed by Stuart Varney. The only other thing I guess that really matters here is I've self-studied economics pretty much ever since I became a broker. I'm what you would call a hybrid financial person. I believe in dealing with fundamentals, technical analysis, the economy, and the fourth leg of the stool is actually monetary theory, which is a subdivision of economics. But in this part of the business, it's so important I set it out as its own leg.
Right, and you've also got a newsletter, which we'll talk about towards the end of the segment here. But let's dial back. If September, October, November, the economy, and specifically the American economy, was not only sort of bursting and busting and hitting what we might call a rock bottom. Let's now dial forward 4 years. Where are we right now in this continuum? If we were rock bottom 4 years ago, where are we now?
Well, I'd like to bring you better news, but where we are is I need to back up a little bit and establish some ground here. Understand that a lot of what happened to us, and it depends on which economic theories you ascribe to and what reasons, but essentially the one that I believe in mostly is the Austrian school. And what happens there is we've distorted the price determination mechanism so much by cheapening our money in a way that we don't even understand it. Let me give you a quick example. Let's say that you and I were, you had a car you wanted to sell, and I wanted to sell you, and I wanted to buy a car, and I was interested in your car. Okay, now, it's hard enough for you and I to come to an agreement, because we both have a different opinion of what that car is worth, and in an ideal economic transaction, we should both walk away better off than we were when we started. Okay, that's the nature of a of an actual economic transaction, as it were. You know, if nobody's forcing us to do one thing or another, we should be able to arrive at something from which we both benefit. Well, if it's already hard enough for us to determine the price of your car because we both have a different kind of, if you will, you know, value to it internally, what happens when you make the money change value so quickly that you don't understand how valuable your money is either? Now how do you come to a price? That's where we are. And that's why the economy is staggering so badly. We need to understand, and you're just not getting enough people to talk about this, we need to understand the difference between the nominal value of the dollar and the real value of the dollar, if you will. And when we measure things in dollars, but the dollar keeps getting cheaper and less valuable, then numbers that look incredibly large really aren't. Do you follow what I'm saying?
We're with you. You got it. Keep rolling.
Okay. You know, so when you see the last year that I remember doing some detailed work, we had like a $13 trillion economy. I think that it's somewhere closer to between $15 trillion and $16 trillion now, and I could probably pull up a file while we're talking. That number, if you go back to, like, say, 2001, and we're at, I don't know, $10 trillion, $9 trillion, you really think our economy is 50% bigger than it was in 2000? No, it's not 50% bigger. What the situation is the dollar is not worth what it was in 2000, so the measuring units are cheaper, and it takes more of them to measure the same amount of output. That's the reason, in my opinion, and you know, there's a lot of people who could make cases, and you can't ignore the law of supply and demand here. You just can't, okay? So that's always in play, but that's not what I'm talking about. Let's just postulate for the sake of argument, and that's actually quite funny to people who know me because I say you only postulate when you can't prove it.
Yeah.
Let's postulate that an ounce of gold is worth the same now as it was in 2001, okay? Because it's just an ounce of gold. It's a round little coin usually or a small bar, and it's just an ounce of gold. And there hasn't been any major new use for gold. There hasn't been any major discoveries. So there's no reason to believe there's any change in supply and demand equilibrium. And yet, gold has gone from $255 an ounce in 2001 to over $1,900 an ounce recently and over $1,700 an ounce in the last few days. Has the value of gold changed or has the value of the money changed?
Right.
So, and that monetary change is caused by deficit spending enabled by the Fed. That's a long conversation. I don't know if you want me to go deep into that, but that's essentially when our government overspends more than they actually collect in taxes, and our Fed enables that by buying up the debt that the government has to issue, you end up cheapening the dollar.
Right. Again, if you just joined us, yours truly, Warner Lewis, here from the Flight Deck of Lewis at Large Radio. We're talking to Cal Jones. He's the owner of Trend Capital Management in Overland Park. Also has a newsletter. We're talking about the economy from a slightly different twist. Cal, let me. Most Americans, what you just talked about in the last 3 or 4 minutes, may, if it didn't go over their heads, a lot of people's eyes are rolling back into their head.
Right.
And we're not scolding here, but let's face it. Nobody probably pays enough attention to what really is going on economically as they should. Part of it is it's confusing. Part of it is they feel it's out of their control. Part of it is they've got real lives to lead. So for the layperson, what are they to do about this? What do you tell to Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Public? What are they supposed to be doing?
Well, I think that if I was going to try to get back to, you know, let's call it kitchen table economics, you know, if you're sitting down with your family and you're trying to plan your budget with your wife and, you know, dealing with your kids and all that kind of stuff, you don't have the ability to borrow unlimited funds beyond what you make, okay? And you know if you do, you're going to bring on some really, really bad times. So guess what? Neither can the government. just because you're doing it for 300 million people instead of for one family, doesn't mean the rules change just because of the scope or the number of people. So when you have people doing all these exotic things that you would never see in a million years at somebody's kitchen table, no matter how wealthy they are, then you've got to figure that down the road something's going to happen because you're distorting the way the economy should actually work. And that's what I was talking about with the cheapening of the dollar. And
right.
Yeah, I know that this stuff can kind of make your head explode. It's taken years of study for me to get to the point where I am right now. And a lot of the problem is that when our government adopted Keynesian economics back in the 30s under FDR, we quit teaching in my opinion, the real stuff, which is in congruence with what I just said. We quit teaching that stuff, and we started teaching that you can do all these, that, you know, you can manipulate all these things, and there's no price to be paid for it. Not true.
What about as we move out and start to get a sort of a global, or not global, but just a general view of the stock market and equities in general, as juxtaposed to other investments? Again, I know you're not here to recommend stocks, but just in general, what's your take on the overall performance of the market, and what's that feel like to you as an area to invest?
You're probably going to shoot me, Warner. I kind of broke this out a little bit. Essentially, when you're thinking about investments, there's probably about five things, maybe six, if you include a subcategory as a full category. You can invest in commodities, bonds, stocks, or other financial instruments like stocks, real estate, your own business, and it's such an important thing that I break out gold and silver as their own group because they have characteristics that other commodities simply don't have.
Right.
So all of those things are valid investments, but you would, if you're going to be putting any kind of significant amount of money into any of those things, you ought to have a fairly basic understanding of what you're doing there. Your whoever your financial person is should actually talk to you about this, answer your questions. You know, it'd be nice to have said it and forget it, but you know, unfortunately, you know, I guess it really doesn't work that well. There's a lot of people out there that, well, the level of education, the level of training, the level of self-study is dramatically different across the board, just like it is for doctors and teachers and every other profession.
Again, kind of, staying away from specifics here, but just in general, the old, maybe, or the war generation had a sort of a buy and hold strategy, particularly with what were traditionally referred to as blue chip stocks. Do you see that as gone away now, or is that still viable in some cases?
I would not. While I have done long-term holding of various types of financial investments, you have to be willing to move when that particular area starts to deteriorate. If you understand, if you have some level of understanding of how they change, because there's fashion in this, there are some of the factors I was just talking to you about, from governmental factors affecting the markets themselves by changing the value of the money, that it doesn't come into the economy evenly. So sometimes certain specific areas will benefit while others will have a detriment to them. And a lot of it depends on how the law is structured and what the current fashion is, and therefore how the politicians act. So right now, diversification is a good thing. It's not a panacea. It does not help you. I mean, like diversification, if you have 20 or 30 different stocks, doesn't help you at all if there's a market-wide crash.
Right.
You know. So diversification prevents you from having one mistake take you down, but it doesn't. But it doesn't help you if you're in all the same classes. And that's why I broke out those classes of investments. Those are different kinds of things. Unfortunately, bonds and stocks are going to act similarly with regards to what I was talking about with the changing value of the money. Real estate is less predictable. Real estate took a big dive because, and it took the economy with it because of some of the things that the government did from about 1998 to, say, 2005 or 2006. You know, those things all, they all enter into it. I guess what I'm trying to say to you is, if you're looking for a safe haven right now, there really isn't one. You have to, you couldn't just expect to buy anything, even gold and silver, that would just simply, you could expect to pull it out in 5 years and expect it to be worth more. And again, worth more means different things when you're cheapening the money.
Cal, there's about 75 million or so baby boomers that, if they've got, don't have both feet into retirement, they certainly have one foot or at least a hand reaching into it or towards it.
I'm one of them.
Indeed. Well, as you survey the landscape in general, from where you sit and from the people that you've talked to, what are one or two things maybe that baby boomers need to be mindful of, or things they need to maybe shore up that they may not be thinking about, just based on your experience with others?
Well, and understand that I don't favor, and the reason why I talked to you the way I did about these things, I don't favor any one category or classification more than any other. Because you should probably have some of each, and you may not be able to get them all from the same place. You can't get them all from my company. You can get some of them from my company. But what you do is you have to kind of decide for yourself how you think things are gonna shake out, or listen to some people that you trust, do some reading, do some internet research, and then decide what your time frame is, and then pay attention. You've got to simply pay attention. But one of the things that, I hate to go back and harp on this, but one of the things we need to pay attention to is the actual value of our money. We were talking about, you know, the rally in the stock market. Now, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but there's some theories that I won't go into any detail because I probably already, like you said, talked at too high of a level for the preparation level, or I mean for the preparation of a lot of your listeners, that says that if an economy doesn't need all the money that's been created, it will run into the financial markets. What that means is, in practical application since 2009, is that our economy was slowed down. We pumped a lot of extra money into it. That money wasn't needed by our economy. So that money ran into the financial markets, inflating the financial markets without inflating so much our regular lives. Are you with me?
Yep.
So that $50 stock that was maybe $300 before the crash became a $50 stock and has now rallied to $200 or maybe even more. Well, or anything, that bond. I mean, the recovery isn't really a recovery per se. It's because the money ran into the financial markets, and when you have more money available than you do supply of instruments, that drives up the price of the instruments, and it's a force that expressed itself quite fully. It's deceptive to think that the market rally since 2009 is actually an improvement. It's a recognition that our economy didn't need to absorb all the money that the Fed created to enable our government to deficit spend.
So what you're saying is, like water, it's looking for a lowest spot to roll to.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, that's not a bad analogy at all, Warner. It's going to go where the least resistance is. If you're looking for the cure, because I'm talking to you about all these things because I'm trying to describe what's happening now. The way to stop this is to slow down or stop the inflationary process, cut spending, maybe increase taxes a little, but not nearly as much as what some parties are suggesting. But mostly just stabilize the money so that we understand what our money's worth again, and then people will start to step out and do more transactions. They'll buy more things, they'll borrow more money, they'll do all the things that would start an actual economic expansion. But as long as, I mean, like I said, two sides of the transaction now are variables, where before it was only one. You only had to worry about what you were buying was worth.
Yeah.
Now you have to worry about what your money's worth and what you're buying is worth.
As we kind of start to wind down here a little bit, Cal, again, we're talking to Cal Jones. He's the owner of Trend Capital Management in Kansas City. He also has a newsletter talking the economy and financial markets in general. Let's just talk specifically, and again, not as a recommended or not recommended stock, but just the phenomena of Facebook. The IPO priced that thing near $40, and now just a few weeks later, it's half of that. Is that what's your take on that whole process?
Well, I mean, I've looked at Facebook. I didn't have the ability. That was rather tightly controlled by the people out of New York. I didn't have the ability to get into that IPO, but I wouldn't have anyway, because it was. I'm sure that you're familiar with the term mania. And throughout history, there have been all kinds of manias in financial markets. In the late 90s, you could probably say we had a more or less broad-based mania, but there were an awful lot of reasons that we don't have time to go into right now as to why that lasted as long as it did and why it was so consistent. But a mania like Facebook is consistent with a whole host of other ones. Probably the first one that anybody ever documented was the tulip mania back in the Netherlands in, I don't know, hundreds of years ago. You know, there was a time where tulips were worth, you know, I mean, some of the tulip seeds or bulbs were worth like a large farm, just one of them. More recently, in Japan, I believe it was the 1980s before their system crashed, especially their real estate, they said that the Imperial Palace was worth more than the entire state of California. That's a mania. I think Facebook was a mania. I think there were a lot of people who hyped it. I think it was probably, I don't know if there's any malfeasance on Facebook's part. I certainly wouldn't accuse them of that without a lot more evidence. But clearly, people were wanting to have another Apple show up or another Dell. If you remember Dell from 1996 to 1998, it was a 30-time stock. It was worth 30 times as much by the end of 98 as it was at the beginning of 96.
Right, they were looking for another .com, so to speak.
Kind of, yeah, that's exactly right. And that's because people, they want to get out of where we are right now.
Right.
And who doesn't? I mean, I want to get out of where we are.
And they thought Facebook might be the magic train ride out of here. Is that the idea?
Right, and unfortunately, that, you know, without going back and doing the hard work that it's going to take to get there, we end up buying the snake oil, or, you know, at least collectively.
Yeah. Well, we could talk for quite a while. Interesting subjects indeed. Heavy subjects for a Sunday morning, but that's okay. More, a little morning coffee talk here. We've been talking to Cal Jones, again, the owner of Trend Capital Management in Overland Park, also the publisher of his own newsletter that covers a wide variety of economic subjects, not just stock picks. That's not it at all. Cal, how can people find out more about you, the newsletter, and some of the work you do?
And probably the easiest way to do it would simply be able to go to my website. I can mention that on your air?
You bet. Absolutely.
Okay. It's www.trendcapitalmgmt, kind of like a little four-letter abbreviation for management. So it's www.trendcapitalmigmit, that's how I pronounce it, .com.
Got it. Hey, and listen.
It'll come up. There's a homepage. It'll usually click you through to the newest newsletter, and I have yet to put up the September newsletter because I give my clients and the hard copy readers a few days to get it done before I post it on the website, but it should be up within the next day or two.
Good. Hey,
I've got back several years. I've got all my published articles on, well, not all of them, but most of my published articles on there, a few unpublished articles. It's a decent website. I think you should, you know, there's a lot of really good information on there. But I guess if I was going to start with one, just to read, I'd start with the February issue, which will be back in the newsletter archive. It's called The Purchasing Power of Money. It'll provide a foundation for pretty much everything we talked about in this show.
Hey, appreciate your time and your insights, and best of luck with the newsletter. Best of luck. And by the way, best of luck to all of us with the economy, right?
Oh, absolutely. And we do have some choices in there, but especially coming up in November. But, you know, you have to do your own work, and you have to make your own decisions. That's part of the whole thing. I know what I think, but I wouldn't want to, you know, I wouldn't want to try to force my opinion on anybody. I just basically give them the facts and let them decide who takes the country where they think they want to go. But, you know, following procedures and following what the, if you will, the natural laws of how this stuff works, the natural laws of human nature and the natural laws of economics, if you violate that, you're going to end up where we are.
Hey,
we did it for a long time. We were actually lucky it lasted as long as it did.
Yep. Hey, appreciate it very much, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much, Warner.
We'll be back with more right after this on Lewis and Large.